Good evening. Tonight the subject is foolishness, and I think they got the right guy to speak to you. I can't think of a more foolish clergyman than me. I spent 55 years being foolish. I spent 55 years in churches that taught me how to be the Pharisee, and then I came here to the church that could teach me how to be the publican. And that's how pre-Lent starts. Remember way back there, the lesson of the publican and the Pharisee. Tonight, we think about foolishness. In fact, we're in the middle of three nights about foolishness. Last night was the foolishness of the fig tree, the lesson of the fig tree, which I would categorize as you had one job. Just had one job. You're a fig tree. You're supposed to come up with figs. You know when you need to come up with figs? You need to come up with figs when the creator of trees is walking by. But you weren't ready then. Instead, you had an excuse. I'm out of season. I just can't do it right now. I got a lot of stuff going on. I'm busy. I don't have time. And the Lord cursed the fig tree and cut it down. He doesn't want excuses. He wants figs. You're to love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. That's the fruit you're supposed to produce. And if you say, well, you know, it's Holy Week, so I'll give it a shot. But next week, you know, I'm done with this. What if he comes by then? What if the bridegroom comes then? Will you be found ready? And then tonight, the foolish virgins, which really kills off the thing I believed for 55 years about once saved, always saved. Those 10 virgins, five of them made it in and the other five didn't. So much for once saved, always saved. They were all virgins to start with, but five of them got locked out, and when the door was shut, it was shut in their faces forever. And then tomorrow, we're going to look at repentance and how you respond to all of this that's gone on in your life. And every night, you might notice, when you get home tonight it's on page 50, where it says the envy can overtake those who are untaught. But fire will consume the adversary. And if you want to meet any adversaries to the gospel, you just go online. And this week, there's been a meme going around that people are sharing, and they're coming to me and saying, Father Deacon, what do we say about this? And what it says is, I'm not going to follow Christ. After all, his own people didn't follow him. He came to the Jews, and they not only rejected him, they killed him. I'm not going to follow him because they didn't. What do you have to say to that, Father Deacon? I said, well, this guy doesn't understand the scriptures, but he doesn't understand the world either. You see, according to the scriptures, the big event was Lazarus Saturday. When Lazarus was brought back from the dead, people came to see Jesus, okay, but the scripture I read yesterday said, but they also came to see Lazarus because they knew he'd been in the grave 4 days and was stinking. He was decomposing. And now he's alive and he's sitting at a table with Jesus. I got to show up for this. And show up they did. In huge numbers on Palm Sunday, spreading out palms like you would for a king. That's going to terrify the Romans. But they went beyond kingship and they said, Hosanna in the highest. Now, the whole world spoke Greek, okay? And the Hebrew word is Hosianni. But the Greeks can't say shh, so they have to change the word. So they changed Hosianni into Hosanna. But what Hosianni means is save me. And that means you're not just talking to a king. You're talking to the King of Kings. And that scared the Jews. The elites, both Roman and on the Sanhedrin, were afraid of this man. Not because nobody was following him, not because he was a failure, but because he was succeeding in terrifying terms. You know, nobody gets upset about a good loser. Everybody that opposes a good loser really likes a good loser. And they tend to be good losers because they've had a lot of practice at it. The reason they needed to crucify Jesus was that he wasn't a failure, and they knew it, and the people knew it, and they knew the people knew it. So what are we to do? What about the fact that we might really try to show up this week, but the other 51 weeks, if he comes by, we're probably not going to have those figs. And then tonight's lesson about sticking with it. It tells me that I don't just have to repent for having been so foolish, but that even when I knew what the answers were, did I even have the stick-with-itiveness to stick with it all the way? And every night we read that about how envy overtakes the untaught and fire consumes the adversaries. Every one of these three nights. But tomorrow night, we're going to hear about the second baptism, the baptism of tears, the time when we come to Jesus ready to say, I'm so sorry for all the time I wasted. I'm so sorry for thinking that, well, my wife's got enough oil, I'll just let her keep my lamp in good shape. I'll let her do the praying in the family. I'm so sorry. But I'm so glad that I've finally come to the one place that recognizes the second baptism, which is the baptism of tears. And I can come and wash the Savior's feet with my tears and say, oh, please, Christ, don't cut me down like the fig tree. Don't shut me out like the foolish maidens. But let me come to you in tears and wash your feet with my tears of repentance. Because I have more experience than anybody in being foolish. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.